What a great day to be alive in the kingdom, and we're so glad to be a part. You want to be praying for these folks that are not able to be in the house. We are by degrees going to be coming back. It won't take us as long as it took us last time because we're getting used to having COVID around. And so we're just gonna blow through this, and God's gonna help us, and we're gonna continue to have revival. I believe it's the will of God to have revival in every season. He's a God for all seasons, and revival is the will of God in all seasons. Can you say amen? Right. For those of you that might be interested, a good number of you signed up, and hello, and God bless you to our church family that's watching on the internet tonight. Don't hit your knees on that coffee table when you're running the aisles. It hurts. But a lot of you signed up, 80 of you signed up for this home Bible study manual that we've produced. And I only produced 50 of them in the first printing, so we have a good number of them out here. If you're staying at home and kind of hunkered down with somebody because of COVID and you want to come by church and pick your manual up, you can pay for it online at the Church Center app, or you can drop it in the slot over here on the door if you like. Just put it in a tithing envelope. But they'll be out here in the foyer on a table, and there are three volumes. It's 1, 2, and 3, and you can find them sitting in sets. And so we've got this is like the tomato stand on the side of the road with the little metal box. This is the honor system. Just go ahead and help yourself and go find somebody to teach a Bible study to. And for the 30 of you that we don't have one for you tonight, tomorrow I'm picking up another 100 of them, and so we're going to have plenty to go around, and we'll get them to everybody that wants one. Okay, so, well, isn't God good? Aren't you glad about what he's doing in your home and family and in your life? We're going to read tonight in 2 Samuel chapter 23. We're making our way through, and we're just about done with this season of study on David, and we've looked at him from so many angles, and all of these primary figures and features in the Word of God, they're like a piece of crystal, and you can hold it up to the light and turn it just a little bit, and the light changes, and you can get new vistas and new perspectives and new revelations. And so these are so rich and so deep. And I was listening to a gentleman talk about a number of things this week, and he was talking about the traditional religious. He considers them to be mythologies, but he said, I have found that in those old stories, there's no bottom. And he was speaking specifically about these biblical stories. He said, there's no bottom. The further I go, the deeper it gets, and I can't find an end to it. And I'm sitting here having been studying this thing for 48 years, and I can just tell you, there is no bottom to it. And it doesn't matter who you are, how smart you are, you'll never get to the end of this. His ways are beyond searching. But isn't it great to have the capacity to handle the things of God and the Word of God tonight? So we're going to work a little bit more on David. 2 Samuel 23, verse 1. Now these be the last words of David. So we're going to chronicle David's last words. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of God, the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun rises, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after the rain. Praise God. If you love his word as you're seated tonight, let's give God thanks and praise for his word forever settled in the heavens. We praise you, mighty God, and we bless your name, and we're so glad to be a part of your kingdom. Well, we worship you, Lord God. Thank you for your word in this house tonight. Praise God. Praise God. And we're glad to have the Hayes family in church tonight sitting in the corner over here. I think it's their first time back since the wedding. And Brother Reginald, I met you a while ago, and I I've lost your wife's name, but this is a newly married couple here. We're so glad that they're here in the house with us tonight. It's a wonderful institution. And beside Living for God, it's the best thing that ever happened to me. And I believe in it, and I'm in favor of it. And if you found a wife, you found a good thing. And so, well, that was when all the men should have been, oh, praise God, and you should have been shouting a little bit. And so, all right. So these are the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, the man who was raised on high, God exalted this young shepherd boy. God poured out an anointing on him and a destiny on him, and he walked in it, and he becomes the consummate king of Israel. All other kings are judged by the metric of David. Even with the fall and even with the business with Bathsheba, God still holds him up against all the other kings that are mentioned in the Word of God. He was raised up on high. He's the anointed of the God of Jacob. He is the sweet psalmist. He's the songwriter. He's the praiser. He's the songwriter of Israel. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me. These are the last words of David. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. And you know, you would think maybe the last words of David would be something else, or concerning another topic or something. But he said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning. If you're the servant of God, the anointed of God, the Spirit of God is on you and the Word of God is in your mouth, you'll be like the light in the morning when the sun rises. And this is something God has woven into creation, this business of sunrise. The creation speaks of the Creator. And in very simple terms, every day when that sun hits the horizon, it is the message of a resurrection. It's the message of hope. It's the message of a new day. It's the message that darkness cannot overcome the light. It is full of the potency and the power of the kingdom of God every day that the sun rises. And that's why the scripture says, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, his name is to be praised. And several other passages are dealing with that. And so this imagery that David uses here, you're walking in the Spirit of God, you're utilizing the Word of God, and as you do, you'll be like the light of the morning, the sun rising over the horizon, chasing away the darkness, like a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springs out of the earth by clear shining after the rain. And so the role of the one who is anointed of God and who walks in the Spirit, which, by the way, this is a description of all of the people of God in the New Testament era. You are the light of the world. And so he says, you'll be like daybreak. You'll be walking into your workplace, and you'll be like the sun rising in the darkness, and you'll illuminate everything around you. You'll set your world on fire by the light of God that's in your life. And that's the discussion here, and that's only possible because of the motive force of the Spirit of God and the Word of God in your mouth. David is this iconic figure in Israel, and he is one great story after another. The psalmist on the sheepfold, and he's tearing a bear and killing a lion, and then he's the giant killer, and he's full of great feats, and he is a great conqueror, and he conquers nations, and he consolidates Israel, and he expands and actualizes to fulfill the promise of God that God made over 400 years before David to Joshua. But Israel never did rise up and actualize their promise and their fulfillment and their potential. And David does that. He's the only king of Israel that does that. He is a great conqueror. He is a great builder of men. You might think that his last words would have something to do with the day that he walked out in the valley of battle and slew Goliath, or or the day that he consolidates all the tribes, or the day that they plant the last flag and they mark it and they say, now we have actualized the promised geographic borders of Israel that God gave to Joshua. You might think his last word might have been something about that. He was a builder of men. He went into a cave at early on in his tenure, and he's running from Saul, and Saul's trying to kill him. And the Bible says, and everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. They sound like a pretty motley crew. They sound like a crowd that you might not really want to be the captain over. They were in distress, and they were in debt, and they were in trouble. And there were about 400 of them, and he became the captain over them. But right after our text in this chapter that we're reading from tonight, that 400 men, by the influence of this mighty builder of men, this King David, they've turned into something else altogether. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino the Iznite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. That doesn't sound like the furtive crowd that came to the cave at Adullam when David was hiding there. That sounds like a man that's found something else. And now he's leading the mighty men of David. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodol, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David. And they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle. And the men of Israel were gone away. These men are no longer hiding in caves, and they're no longer looking for refuge. They are mighty men of God, and they are pursuing and claiming and actualizing the promise of God. And and the men of Israel were gone away, and he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave to the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned to him only to spoil. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agee, the Hararite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, and there was a piece of ground full of lentils, a bean field, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. And this goes on. This is the remains of the chapter that our text is found in. These men are memorialized here, the three men that were gathered together in a day of battle when the Philistines were in control of Bethlehem. And David, just thinking whimsically about his childhood, he said, oh, that I had a drink of water from that well at the gate of Bethlehem. What I would give for that. And those three guys stood up and they broke through the ranks of the Philistine army, and they ran into that little city, and they drew water out of the well, and they brought a cup of water back to David. That's how intrepid, that's how mighty, that's how fearless they were. They weren't that when they started. They were hiding, and they were furtive, and they were in debt and distressed and discontented. But now, under the influence of David, they've become, I'm telling you, David was a conqueror. He was a giant killer. He was a builder of men. And this passage goes on to talk about that. But David's last words, they're not about consolidating the nation, and they're not about actualizing the promise of God to Israel. And his last words are not about how he built alliances with other nations, and how Hiram brought cedar for his house and for the Lord's house, and how that he amassed a fortune that he would turn over to Solomon, his son, and his son would build one of the wonders of the world in the temple, the first major edifice to house God there in Jerusalem. And but David's last word, it wasn't about all the money that they had gathered and all the nations that they had conquered and all the men that he had turned from hiding and troubled people into mighty men of actualized potential. His last words were not about fame or fortune or conquests or heroic deeds or giants, but his last words were about the Spirit of God speaking through him and the Word of God in his mouth. I'm reminded of the elder T. Wynn Drost, who was missionary back in the 70s in El Salvador during the war years, and they built a great work there. Brother Drost is regarded as an apostle by the people, the apostolic people of Central America and Mexico, and he built great works in El Salvador during the war years. I've seen some film footage of people fighting and burning vehicles, and they were running across his roof, and he or Sister Drost was just holding a little old Kodak or something out over the window, and they were filming these firefights out in the street. And that's the kind of climate that we were sitting at a restaurant with him one night, and he was saying, the terrorists have burned this restaurant down 3 times. And my wife said, well, how do they feel about Americans? And he said, oh, they hate Americans. It was incredible what he did. He built churches, and he built people, and he built national organizations, and he created something that had never existed before in Central America in the apostolic movement. But he came one morning to theology class, and I had pumped this thing up. I had built him up. I told these guys, I said, look, this is T. Wynn Drost. He is a phenomenal apostle. He built works in El Salvador and in Guatemala and in Belize. And now he's in Mexico, and he's going to come and spend an hour with us. And essentially what he told this group of young men, he said, read your Bible and pray. And he talked to them for the better part of an hour. But He was focused on the constituent elements of an experience in God. He was focused on the foundational experience of living for God. The stories about giants, nation building, and conquering, and fortunes, and the temple, and all of those things are outrageous, and those things are wonderful. We love those things. We love a good story, and we clap, and we get excited, and the Sunday school children love to hear these stories. But his last words were, the Spirit of God was on me, and the Word of God was in my mouth. His last words were about God speaking through him. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. And David, he knew the secret of actualization. He knew the secret of building men. And he knew the secret of actualizing the borders that God had prophesied. He knew the way to bring the plan of God into reality. He knew what was primary. He knew it was the Spirit and the Word. We've dealt with this a good bit before. It's Genesis chapter 1. It's in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And so the first thing that we see in the creation story is the Spirit of God moving upon the face of the deep. And God said, and the next thing we see is the Word of God emerging, because the Word of God is the motive force of the Spirit of God in the earth. It's the creative power of God in the earth. The Word of God is God's utterance, God's expression, God's methodology. That's how God builds and makes and creates. And God spoke and said, let there be light. And there was light. And by the way, it was good. And so a moving of the Spirit is primary. You can't have anything. I talked to a guy, Steve and I stood outside your place in between today, talking to a guy that worked for Alabama Power. He was running a little Mini X, and he was helping some guys lay some power to our house site. And he said, are you a bishop? I said, well, I don't know. He said, well, the paperwork says bishop. I said, oh, that's because Carl, the engineer at Southern Company. See, he has my email address. My email address is bishopbeham@bellsouth.net. And I said, that's right. It's just Carl. He said, well, are you a pastor? And I started talking to him, and he just shut his machine off, and we started talking about church and about the Word of God and about the Holy Ghost and about baptism in Jesus' name and about how you know the Word of God is the Word of God and how, and he wanted to know about the Dead Sea Scrolls. Man, we were off out into it, standing on a muddy street out in the middle of nowhere, and we were talking about the things of God. But I told him, I said, it all starts with a moving of the Spirit of God. I said, if they hadn't told you yet about the Holy Ghost, friend of mine, you can't get into the door. I told him about the conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus, and Jesus said, you must be born again, and Nicodemus didn't get it. He was a little confused about the idea of being born again of your mama, and Jesus told him, no, you got to be born of the water, and you got to be born of the Spirit, and that way you can get into the kingdom of God. That way you can see the kingdom of God. And so the beginning of everything is a moving of the Spirit. Primary is a moving of the Spirit. And David nails it in his last words. He said, the Spirit of the Lord came on me, was in my mouth, and his word was in my mouth. So we spend quite a bit of time on a Wednesday night, on a sleepy Wednesday night, we spend quite a bit of time singing and praising and magnifying. And we're always going to do that. And that'll never stop, because we learned a secret about the Word of God. We've learned a secret. If you want to actualize the promise of God, you want to lay hold to what God has made available, you want to experience what God has for you in 2021, you need to have a move of God in your life. And everything in this world wants to sit down on you, and everything in this world wants to steal your praise and steal your worship, and wants you to sit there with the sours and wants you to sit there with your hands folded. But you've got to learn how to praise God. You've got to learn how to entertain the presence of God. Because first, there's got to be a moving of the Spirit. Paul sees this, and Paul links our redemption experience and our encounter with God in terms of redemption with that creative account in Genesis 1. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, little g, lowercase g, that's Satan, the God of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, Paul's reaching all the way back to Genesis 1. He said, just like when God reached out and shined the light out of the darkness, he has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I want you to know what's happening. Jasmine, you told me a little bit shy. And so I'm going to help you break out of shy tonight. All right? And it's too late. You're already here. You already got baptized in the Holy Ghost. You're going to get baptized in Jesus' name. It's too late. You already got your baby in the house of God. You already tasted. You've already seen that the Lord is good. Praise God. So I just want to tell you, you've been filled with the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God is in you now. Now, I want you to know, you are positioned to actualize all the promises of the Word of God. We used to sing an old song. It's old Pentecostal song. And it says, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am standing on His Word divine. Every promise in the book is mine. I want you to know tonight, every promise in the book is yours. Everything that God said, just like David spread out as far as God said they could spread, you can do that tonight. Everything that God has promised you, you can have tonight. But it starts with a moving of the Spirit of God. Paul said, just like the creation day, now God has shined into your heart that creative light. Now, what he does on the creative day and in the days following, he builds this huge structure, this big life-giving structure, this big supporting structure, and he's going to do that in your life by his Spirit and by his Word. Those things are inseparable. His Word and His Spirit are one. The Word of God is Spirit, and it is life. And so you've got that down inside you now. If you'll let it go. Now, let me tell you, you can keep it bottled up. You can keep it crushed down. And when He starts moving on you, He'll move on you gently. And He'll start talking to you gently. And you can shut Him down. And you can say, no, that's not me. That's for somebody else. But it ain't. It's for you. And you can say, no, not tonight, later. But you need to say, okay, tonight. Whatever God tells you, that's what you need to do. You know what the preacher preached the night I got the Holy Ghost? He said, if you'll stand up in the middle of this service and you'll lift your hands and you'll begin to cry out to God, God will give you the Holy Ghost tonight and God will change your life. That was 48 years ago. And God has changed my life. And God gave me the Holy Ghost right in the middle of the service. And you say yes. When the Holy Ghost moves, you move. When the Holy Ghost talks, you say yes. When you feel a bump, jump. Let God have His way. Let God have His way. Let God have His way. We've got to have a moving of the Spirit. We've got to have a moving of the Spirit. David said, God, the Spirit of God was in me and His Word was in my mouth. And the greatest moment, the apex of the history of Israel was accomplished by a man that was filled with the Spirit and filled with the Word. You are made in the image of God. You are the Imago Dei. You are made in the image of God. And there's a lot to be said about that. But the fundamental truth about that is that you are like God. You are filled with the Spirit of God. And you have the power to open your mouth and speak forth the Word of God. Not your word. Not the political word. Not the word on the street. Not the word of fear and distress. But whatever the Word of God has said, you open your mouth, you begin to say that, things will begin to happen in your life. I'm telling you, God will begin to actualize every promise in your life. Somebody says, praise God. First, everybody say, first, the moving of the Spirit. So we know David as a psalmist and a worshiper and a praiser. He knew how to attract the presence of God. And he writes to us about it in Psalms 22 in verse 3. Thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Turn to your neighbor and say, God inhabitests our praises. That King James is a little tongue twister. But God inhabits our praises. That's why when we come in church, you might be feeling a little bit hungover from the job, or you might be feeling a little bit troubled by what went on today, or what you're feeling in the atmosphere, in the city, or in the street, or somewhere. But when we come into the house, I understand why David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Because when we come in this house and we gather together, as Brother Stephen was saying tonight, when there's two or three of us gathered together in His name, He's going to be there. He's going to show up. He inhabits the praises of His people. And I wonder if there's a connection between little praise and little habitation and big praise and big habitation. I wonder if there's a connection between how much and how well we praise God and how much of God we have moving in the house. Somebody say praise God. Everything in this world hates this apostolic message. Everything in this world wants to sit down on your praise and shut your mouth, because the last thing the enemy wants is for you to have the Spirit of God in you and the Word of God in your mouth, because he knows, he's seen it before, you can actualize every bit of the promise of God in your life. He was praising God and worshiping God in Jesse's sheepfold. He was writing the Psalms from 3,000 years ago. David teaches us how to enter into the presence of God. Everyone say, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Yeah, see, you don't come to church quiet. You come to church noisy. Yeah, you want to be quiet? Be quiet somewhere else. But we don't come to a funeral home. We come to the house of God. And you make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You make noise with your hand. You make noise with your voice. You make noise with your feet. You make noise with the musical instruments. But you need to make a joyful noise. And it just can't be racket. It's got to be a joyful noise. You've got to connect it. You've got to connect it to how good God's been and how excited you are about how good God's been. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. That's everybody. That's everybody. Everybody. Nobody's exempt from that. You got to participate in the worship of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Serve the Lord with gladness. Get happy. I don't care what happened. I don't care what you lost. I don't care if your dog died. When you come to the house of God or you engage God in prayer and you're opening up your prayer time with worship, you need to get glad. Because if you're not, something's upside down. Because God's got to be bigger than everything else in your life. And when you've lost everything else, but you still got God, then you come before his presence with gladness and with singing. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye, now this is crucial. This is the philosophical platform. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. You need to understand that there's only one God and you're not God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are the sheep of his pasture. We belong to God. That should keep you humble. And that should make you know who you are indebted to and who you owe praise to. Enter into his gates. How do we get in the gates of God? How do we get in the gates of God? So we enter in. How do we do that? I thank you, Lord. God, you've been so good to me. Now, the devil may be on one shoulder and your enemy may be on the other, and they're telling you all the things that are wrong in your life, but you need to find something and you need to begin to be thankful to God. A heart of gratitude and thanks unto God will lift you up out of a deep place and cause the light of God to break forth in your experience. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And once we get into his presence, anything is possible. And into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. This is David talking. This is David, full of the Spirit, and David speaking forth the word of God. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. And so God moves and affects change in the world, in the natural world, by his word, which is breathed or sent forth by his Spirit. David knows this. The longest chapter in the Bible is a chapter in the Psalms, Psalms 119, dedicated to the word of God. It is just over and over and over the word of God. And it's acrostic. It follows the Hebrew alphabet. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and they seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart, and when I have learned thy righteous judgments, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto unto the word, according to the word, unto thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of the testimonies as much in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. And this goes on for 176 verses. And I want you to know, you got to have a moving of the Spirit of God in your mouth, in your life, and you've got to have the word of God moving in you. You have to have a relationship with God in spirit and in truth, or in spirit and in the word of God. Praise God. So like Genesis 1 again, the moving of the Spirit and then the word of God. Well, what happens? All creation begins to take shape, and and the potential begins to turn into actualization or reality, and light comes forth. And in Psalms 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When we begin to handle the word of God, our lives get illuminated. It's like the sun rising. It's like the resplendence on a cloudless morning, the sun breaking forth on a dew-covered field. That's what our text said, and that's what happens in your life when the word of God begins to come forth. It's just like Genesis chapter 1, Psalms 119 and 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. Here's the equation. You're either going to walk in light or you're going to walk in darkness. Anybody here want greater light in your life? You're either going to walk in life or you're going to walk in death. Anybody want life and that more abundantly? You're either going to walk in promise or you're going to walk in a curse. Anybody here want to see the promise of God fulfilled in your life? You're either going to walk with God or you're going to walk with hell. Somebody just needs to make up their mind tonight. I want the Spirit of God moving in me and the Word of God in my mouth. How do I get there? Get filled up with the Spirit of God, and tomorrow get filled up again. How do I get there? Get the Word of God hidden down in your heart. Let the entrance of the Word of God bring light into you. When you get this right, when you get it right with the Spirit and you get it right with the Word, you're in proper position in Spirit and in Word. God infuses his people with light. He infuses his leadership with light. And he shall be as a light of the morning when the sun rises, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. That's what it's like when you walk on the job. That's what it's like when you walk in your house. You can't see it with your natural eyes, but I'm telling you, in the Spirit, something begins to move in that house. If nobody else in your house is living for God, you stay full of the Spirit and full of the Word of God, and something is shining in that place, and demons are quaking in that place, and hell is worried in that place, and people are beginning to feel the transition of God's power moving in their lives already. Because you're there, and because you're shining and you're radiant in the Word of God and in God's Spirit. Praise God. David's getting a little old, and David goes out to battle, and that's that story where the giant Ishbi-benob wants to kill David, and Abishai comes and he kills the giant. But the men tell David, they say, look, you need to stay back home when we go out and fight now, and we're killing these giants. We can handle this. You started this giant killing business, and we're taking it up, and we're gonna continue on. But I want you to know you need to stay home so that the light of God is not quenched. The men of Israel recognized, and they were willing to fight for and protect the light of God. This is not just a metaphor. This is the truth of the Word of God. You understand what was happening there when at the birth at Bethlehem, when the glory of the Lord shone round about them, how that light penetrated into an earthly sphere. And it was because the prophetic word was coming to pass, and the Spirit of God was there, and light attends unto that. And the whole fabric of the destiny of the world was being changed in that moment. You have no idea the power that's in you, resident in you right now by the Spirit and by the Word of God. You've got the power. The Word of God is nigh thee. It is even in thy mouth. God is able to use you. Paul thought he was seeing light on the road to Damascus. It was noon. It was noon, and the sun was directly overhead. But he said, I saw a great light. I'm just telling you, God has something that just absolutely transcends the natural. And in that instance, it was light against the meager light of the sun. And I want you to know there is a greater light. You do realize that God made light on the first day and didn't make the sun until the fourth day. That there is a great light that God has. And you know what he's done? He's put it inside of you. You are the light of the world. These patterns and these principles are just as certain today as they were in the day of David. I remember when a little lady named Cynthia Verbois received the Holy Ghost. They were some old friends of ours from high school. And she was down in the altar. I remember when she got the Holy Ghost, and I'd never seen anything like it before. Her face was literally shining. I don't mean she was smiling. I don't mean she looked radiant in a human sense. I'm telling you, she was glowing from the inside. I have seen a glory cloud in the house of God. I have seen somebody lighting up on the inside at the infilling of the Holy Ghost. I'm just telling you, this light business is real. And it's not just a higher strata of knowledge. It is something heavenly born in you by the Spirit and by the Word of God. You are the light of the world. And Brother Stephen was preaching about this Sunday morning, and he was in Luke chapter 4, and Jesus is quoting from Isaiah 61, and it's a direct corollary to what David is doing here in his last word. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." And all of those wonderful things, those developments that he's talking about there. The gospel preached to the poor, healing the brokenhearted, deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, liberty for those that are bruised. All of those things are downstream from "the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach," or if you would, "the word of God is in his mouth." I want you to understand that the creative good is always downstream of the Spirit and the Word. This is Joel chapter 2. Peter quotes it in Acts chapter 2 to the crowd that's gathered on the day of Pentecost. "But this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." What'll happen to them? The word of God will be in their mouth. What's going to propagate that? What makes that happen? The Spirit of the Lord is poured out against them, or upon them. I want you to know tonight, when you go down in the water in Jesus' name here in just a few minutes. Matter of fact, if you want to make your way over there right now, Brother Stephen, you're going to baptize him. Why don't we just go ahead and head that way right now? You want to get baptized in Jesus' name? Let's go. When you do, the Spirit of God is going to come upon you. Somebody say praise the Lord. Jasmine, you want to get baptized tonight too? She said, "No, but I'm shy. I don't want anybody to see." But why don't you go ahead and get ready too? Brianna, somebody find her a robe and get her hooked up. We're going to put her down in the water in Jesus' name. Well, somebody say praise the Lord. God spoke through Joel in the Old Testament some 400 plus years before the birth of Jesus and said, "In the last days, saith God, I'm going to pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh." And what? "And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." What is that? That's the word of God going forth. It is this drumbeat through the word of God. First the Spirit, then the word of God, and then something begins to happen, miraculous and powerful and wonderful and actualizing, and potential begins to be fulfilled. And that is the sequence of the word of God. When these folks get baptized tonight, Brother Stephen's going to lay his hands on them, and that brother, he's going to begin to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. What is that? What is that? That's prophecy. That's what Joel was saying. That's what Peter repeated there in Acts chapter 2. What is that? That's God speaking through them. That's the word of God in them. That's exactly what David was talking about. The The Spirit of God was in me, and His word was in my mouth. You know who you are as an apostolic tonight. You are a replica of the Christ on the earth. You are humanity filled with the Spirit, and the word of God is in your mouth. You're like King David. The Spirit of God is in you, and the word is in your mouth. You are the fulfillment of Joel 2:28. The Spirit of God is in you, and the word of God is in your mouth. You are exactly what happened on the day of Pentecost. The Spirit of God is in you, and the word of God is in your mouth. I want you to know you need to use that mouth of yours. You need to use that word of God of yours. Use it in prayer. Use it in praise. Use it to witness. Use it to take dominion. Use it to witness. Oh, let's clap our hands. Come on, Sam. Just like Israel had a prophetic parameter set about them before they ever set foot in the promised land, God had already said where their boundaries were going to be. Tonight, if we could see in the Spirit and if we could hear from God, Brother Brian, you've got a boundary around you. I don't mean a boundary confining you and restricting you. I mean a boundary of potential about how far you can go and how far you can reach and how impactful your life can be. John, I want you to know we can't see it right now, but the potential that's in you, God's already drawn out the boundary lines around that. The only question is, how far can you reach? How far can you go? How big can you be in the kingdom of God? Nobody saw David coming. Nobody saw what was going to happen with a little shepherd boy with a sling in his hand out tending his daddy's sheep. But the Spirit of God came on him, and the word of God was in his mouth, and he became the apex king. He became the metric for all other kings. He consolidated all the tribes. He fulfilled or actualized all the boundaries that God had promised to Joshua. He was a giant killer. He amassed a fortune. He allowed his son to build an eighth wonder of the world. You know what's in you right now? The Spirit of God is in you right now. The Word of God is in you right now. And there is no end to what God can do. Are you guys going to sing tonight? Shall we? I'm done. People getting baptized. I think there's probably few of us in the house tonight. We could probably all gather right at the window and watch this happen. Praise God. A moving of the Spirit. The utterance of the word of God, creation, light, good, the actualization of promise, the building of people, the taking of cities, conquest of a world that God died for. Let's clap our hands unto Him and bless His name. Praise God. I tell you what I'd like us to do. I'd like us to gather right over there around the window and some people in the hall, and let's have a good prayer meeting over here so God pour out the Holy Ghost.
lift up the name of Jesus. Oh, we come to lift.